Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. Bring me, Lord, but never bring me down. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
I know master of the wind.
I know the master of the wind.
Thank you, men. Thank you. That was a blessing. I like to watch our people when specials are being sung, and I could not help but look over to Brother Jaime Warrito. You liked that, didn't you? Our Indian brother from the Navajo Reservation. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. For all of you that have part in our special music program, whether it be the choir or special music, I want to just say thank you. If you don't know what it means to our church, then someone needs to help you to know. It's a blessing to your preacher. And I know if it's done right, it requires rehearsal. Nobody ought to stand up and sing and not be ready and practiced up to sing. Why, ball players don't even play without practice unless you're Terrell Owens. Stand with me if you found your place in Matthew chapter 28. We shall begin to read in verse number 18. Tell me, what is this passage about? Say it again, church. What's this passage about? The Great Commission. Too many churches have made it the Great Omission. You know why it's called the Great Commission? It takes teamwork and cooperation to bring it to pass. Not one church can do it alone. Not a missionary can do it by himself. It takes cooperation. It takes about 50 to 60 churches to get a missionary on the field and support that missionary in the ministry there. About 50 to 60 churches. And it varies in various places where it's more expensive. For instance, probably the most expensive place in the world for a missionary to serve is in Japan. Europe is greatly increasing. South America, Central America used to be one of the best missionary bargains, but it's no longer that way. It takes money. It takes money. And because they're linking up with the euro, it's taking more money than ever before. Hawaii is an expensive place for a missionary to serve. Not even getting out of the United States, but two of the most expensive places where missionaries serve is Hawaii and Alaska. But I want you to know that the Great Commission, commission, telling us to go, there's a job to be done. And it takes more than one person and more than one church to get that job done. It takes all of us working together to accomplish the purpose and the plan of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, we have the most detailed statement of the Great Commission in the Bible. And if you know anything about Bible interpretation, then the principle of first appearance is important. And this is the first appearance of the Great Commission in Scripture. And it is the most detailed. The other four statements of the Great Commission are not as detailed as this one, but they are to be interpreted in light of the first appearance of the Great Commission here in Scripture. And the Bible said, Jesus said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, I think that's important for us to make a part of the Great Commission, because the power to get the job done for God is not going to be just human power. We've got to have His power. We've got to have His divine help in the work of missions. The missionary has got to have His divine help in order to get to the field and stay on the field and do the job God's given him to do. You and I, who are committed to supporting missionaries, need God's help so we can be faithful and consistent in our missions giving. So we need to know that all power is behind the work of world missions and the work of witnessing to lost sinners. All of the power of God and all of the authority of God is behind it. Someone says, well, the cities have passed a law. We cannot witness in the city anymore. Hey, God's word trumps the city ordinance. All power is given unto us. All authority. Some heathenistic pipsqueak sitting on a city council making a rule to hinder the work of God and the commission of God here in America and around the world. How dare they? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now notice, this is not a duplication. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach is used in verse 19 means to evangelize. It means to give out the gospel. It means to tell people about Jesus Christ and free salvation that's available to anyone, anywhere, on the basis of whosoever will. So it is a commission to go and evangelize. The next statement is to baptize those that get saved. The very first thing God asks us to do after we get saved is to get baptized. We had a young man, Robbie, got baptized last week. Was it you that said you'd been saved 21 years? And what I told him after he got out of the baptistry, it's about time. And it was. But you know, most of the time, it's not the new convert's fault. Most of the time, the soul winner and the preacher and the teacher don't teach them. They don't encourage it. They don't preach about it. But I want you to know, it's as much a part of the Great Commission to baptize those we evangelize as it is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But that's not all of it. Teaching them. Now, this word teach means to disciple them, to train them, to instruct them in the knowledge of God and the doctrines of God, the Word of God, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people read this and they claim the last part of it. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. But the way this is constructed, if you interpret it properly, you can't claim the lo, I am with you, if you don't practice the go into all the world. The one is dependent upon the other. And I want to talk to you tonight for a little while on our unfinished task. Our unfinished task. We are about 10 times further behind in fulfilling the Great Commission today than we were the day Jesus gave it. World population is about 7 billion people. That's not as bad as our deficit in America. But that's a lot of folks. And did you know that perhaps half of them have never heard the gospel one time? Let me challenge you to do something. Go to a world map and put a pin or a little flag in all the countries that are closed to the preaching of the gospel. You'll find that a greater part of the world won't let a missionary come in and preach. They have to go under cover. They have to go underground to do it. But I want you to know, folks, because this is 2009, it doesn't mean the job's finished. There's more work to be done than ever before done. Now, we've had a wonderful, wonderful year. And over these past 23 years, we've seen literally thousands of people walk the aisles and get saved and baptized right here at Trinity Baptist Church. But our city isn't even close to being evangelized. We send missionaries around the world, and I think we have 15 missionaries out of our own church. The number changes. 14 young men out pastoring churches, out of this congregation, but we're not even close to finishing the task God's given us to do. About 5 years ago, Global Church Planters was started. In that time period, over 400 new churches have been established by national pastors on the mission field. And on any given Sunday now, about 14,000 people meet together in those new churches to worship God on the Lord's Day. We hadn't even scratched the surface. There's much more work to be done. And over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been preaching along this line because I don't want you or myself to get distracted in this recession, and if you don't have a job, the depression. I don't want you to get distracted from the main thing. Our purpose as Christians here is not to build a career and make money. Our purpose here is to have a career to make money that we might be able to do the will of God and the work of God through our churches. And if you make more than you need, God expects you to invest in every good work. That's what the Scripture says. Now, God is not saying that Christians ought to live like paupers. God is a gracious God, and He blesses His people, and He wants His people that are blessable. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it sure sounds good. God wants His people that are blessable to be blessed, and He wants them to enjoy the fruit of God's blessings. God's not against you living in a beautiful home or driving a nice car, providing your tithing and giving to every good work. God don't want you to cheat Him and His work in order to make yourself the number one priority in life. I want to challenge you tonight about the unfinished task. Now, our church is an unusual church. I guess per capita, families that are tithing, we have more on the average than most churches around here that are faithful in tithing and giving. I suppose out of those that are members of the church and attend pretty regularly, about 40% of our people give. Probably about 20-25% are faithful tithers and givers. 80% of the finances of the church are given by about 20% of the members. 20% is given by 80% of the members. And out of those that are giving their tithes and offerings to the church, the numbers that support missions is less. And yet, the number one priority in our church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And while we can do that partly by giving to missions, we cannot do it completely by giving to missions. Because Jesus made plainly to us in His last statement of the Great Commission that we're to be His witness here in our Jerusalem, in our city. So, not only are we to be giving to missions and supporting our church ministry, but we're to be witnesses. And I'm sad to tell you that the number of soul-winning witnesses in our church are less than those that are faithful tithers in our church. I'm simply saying we need to get it all together. And we need to get in on God's program. Now, I promise you there's not one of you that would say, I want to live my life without God's blessings. All right, then get in on God's program. God's not like our government. God's not going to support those that won't work. Why, God says they ought not eat if they won't work. Now, He didn't say if they can't work. He said if they won't work. You know, I grew up in a home. You can be seated. I grew up in a home where we didn't have much. But I don't ever remember being on welfare. Now, I'm not against that if somebody has a great need and they cannot work. I'm not against that. But Daddy always found a way to supply for his family. It may not be the best. It may be pinto beans. Every other day, pinto beans and cornbread, and we raise pinto beans, and we raise corn and ground our own cornmeal. Mama would can. But I'm simply saying my daddy never received an unemployment check. My daddy was never on welfare. And you know, I'll be 70 this next week, and I've never had an unemployment check. I'm simply saying that we can find things to do if we are physically able to do them. If we are not physically able, then we ought not be ashamed of taking help from government that we have paid in. But I'm simply saying to you that if we want God to bless us, then we need to keep God in first place in our life as well as our pocketbook. I mean, if we go through life robbing God, stealing from God, and we get down to the place where we can't make it, do we really have a right to expect God to work a miracle in our behalf so we can continue to rob Him? I find all the promises in the Bible have conditions connected with them. And I'm simply saying to you, folks, we're living in tough times. We're living in times that are financially tough. How many of you are out of work right now? Would you raise your hand? We've got two. That's a blessing. Not that you're out of work. It's a blessing that it's only two. Brother Gomez from Elgin told me on the phone last week that he had 30 men out of work, not counting ladies that have been laid off. How many of you are having to work two jobs to make it? There's one. Anybody else? Two? Three? You don't have to be ashamed of work. God bless your heart for doing it. God bless your heart for being willing to put forth that effort to do it. God has blessed our area in an unusual way compared to California and Oregon and Washington, Chicago and New Jersey and New York and other areas, parts of the country. We need to thank Him for it. And instead of sticking our chest out and acting like we're somebody special because God's given us a special blessing, we need to realize that we have great responsibilities that we've got to keep a priority in our life. Every one of us can be a witness. We may not be able to walk the streets and go door to door, but every one of us stop at a gas station. We go into a grocery store. After church tonight, I've got to stop and pick up some milk so I can fix breakfast in the morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Bran Flakes Crunch. Oh, goodness. But, hey, there's people in that store. There's people there. And you know, not only are we to go person to person and door to door, but I think also the Great Commission means as we go through life, we're to be His witness. It's really a shame that we have to have scheduled time for soul winning to get our people to go soul winning. Because most don't have the discipline to go on their own and be a witness daily as they go through life. Now I've got to get to my message. The unfinished task. As we think about our title in reference to the message tonight, I want to say emphatically that the unfinished task that I refer to is not salvation. Thank God when Jesus said, "It is finished," He meant it was finished. Nothing else was needed. Nothing else was necessary. It was completely paid for, complete in Jesus Christ, and available for any sinner who by faith would trust Him as Savior. Paul tells us that Jesus, our great high priest, is seated at the right hand of God. And being seated there shows to us that the work of redemption has been completed. Nothing else needs to be done. No more sacrifice needs to be offered. No more sin offering is needed. By one offering for sin, God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, he tells us in Hebrews 10. This great unfinished task is referring to the work that Christ has left the church and every Christian, every church and every Christian to perform for him. That unfinished task that I'm talking about is personal evangelism and worldwide evangelism. Evangelism, both personal and worldwide. This is not the only work of the church, but it's the primary work of the church. If that church is really a New Testament church, witnessing and world missions is not the only work of every Christian, but it's sure the primary work of every Christian if we are in fact born again. There's no way we can circumvent this great truth and be right with God. Our mission work must be carried on by God's people, or it won't be carried on at all. God does not have a plan B or C to fall back on. God's plan is that His people, making up His local churches, take His great commission to heart and fulfill it. You say, does God really expect us to do that? Why, absolutely. You think God's lying here? You think God's exaggerating? You think God is looking for filler in His Bible? No, sir. He's setting forth the primary work of every Christian and every church. Every Christian and every church. We're to be His witness here at home, surrounding areas, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And Jesus tells us we're to do His business. That's His business. Till He comes again. We're to be about telling the story. Now, think about it a moment. The very thing that many shun is one of the greatest privileges that can be bestowed upon a child of God. For God to entrust us to become partners with Him in His redemption plan. Now, don't misunderstand me. We can't save anybody. God took care of all of that. But our part in it is telling them about Jesus. Telling them how to be saved. Giving out that gospel story. Being faithful to make it known. And oh my! God said, we are fellow laborers. God said, when you go, you're standing in Christ's stead. God says, we are ambassadors here in a wicked world, representing God and the only hope they have in this world on its way to hell. We can't save them. Only Christ can do that. But oh, He's given us the privilege of telling the good news. We can tell them, we can show them, we can lead them. But we need to be about it. I wonder what would happen here at Trinity Baptist Church if every family in this church made a commitment to bring somebody with them when they come to God's house to worship. It would absolutely turn this place upside down. Thank God for those that do. Thank God for those that bring somebody with them to the house of God. You say, but I don't know if I could lead someone to Christ. Well, invite them to come to church with you. I remember early in my ministry when I first started out, we'd invite people to church and say, after church tonight, we'll go down to the Carnation. That was an ice cream place down there in Fort Worth or in Haltom City. We'd buy them a milkshake or a sundae. Get them to come to church. You say, why do you want them to come to church? They can hear the gospel. They can get saved. Their life can be transformed. And that's our responsibility, to tell them the story and to keep on telling them. The fact is, most of us are so caught up in our own life, we don't even make it to church on time ourselves. And we certainly don't want to bring anybody else with us, because they'd hear us fussing with one another on the way to church. How many of you fussed with each other on the way to church? No, don't you raise your hand. God has made it possible for us to be laborers together with Him in the salvation of souls. This is a way we can prove our love to God. This is a way we can receive His blessings on our life. By the way, Jesus died to save sinners. And if I give myself to try to reach those for whom He died, don't you kind of think God's going to be pleased with me? Huh? Oh, I sure would like for God to be pleased with my life. Take time to tell somebody about Jesus. Take time to invite somebody to come to church with you. Take time to try to give out the gospel. I mean, this is a way God has made possible so we can prove our love to Him, so we can receive His blessings. This is a way that we can be sure to enjoy His presence. Lo, I am with you always. Now the problem is, I'm afraid, some Christians don't want His presence in some of the things they're involved in. What a tragedy that we do anything and go any place that Christ would not be welcome with us. Are you so foolish to think He does not know? You do realize He lives in you. And whatever you do and wherever you go, you take Him with you. And He knows. He knows. He's made it possible that we can get involved in His service and be rewarded for that service. My, what a privilege it is just to be able to tell somebody. And then to be blessed, to have His pleasure, good pleasure, to have His presence, to have His power, and to stand before Him one day and be rewarded for it. Oh, my soul. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Please listen to it. When we stand before God as Christians, I am convinced that we're going to be judged first and foremost about our stewardship in reference to the Great Commission. Whether you're a soul winner or a missionary, God's going to judge you as one, because He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Doesn't matter what excuse you give. Every decision we make in life as a Christian ought to be made in light of the Great Commission. I don't believe that. Well, then you're foolish. The number one thing God tells us to do is to preach the gospel to every creature, to go into all the world. Now, if I marry a person that hinders me from doing that, I'm out of the will of God. So I ought to consider my future spouse's attitude toward the gospel and the Great Commission and church. You marry somebody that's going to fuss at you for giving your tithe and offering, supporting missions. better be careful. You better make sure those things are settled in advance. Well, my love is going to be so great that we'll just move right into that and there'll be no problem. You're dumber than a rock. If you haven't learned by now, it's going to take more than love for you to make it in your marriage. You've got to have God. You've got to have God's blessings. You've got to have the Word of God if you're going to really make it. I just want you to know, when it comes to this unfinished task, we need to realize that there is a judgment day coming and a payday coming. In that judgment day, we're going to be judged on the basis of our involvement in God's plan for world evangelism. I had a man tell me not long ago, I quit giving because I didn't see any rewards after 6 months. Let me tell you something. For 20-something years, my wife and I had given our tithe faithfully. And God blessed us. We had more than we've ever had before. And we didn't need God to intervene in a miraculous way. God just blessed us and blessed us. But we didn't need miraculous intervention, because God's blessings were more than sufficient. And then I went into evangelism. I didn't have a supporting church. I didn't have an itinerary of churches waiting for me to come. And our first year in evangelism, we lived below poverty level, literally. I think our income was somewhere between $6,000 and $7,000 for the year. But we made it. Because God had been keeping a record all of those years. And see, God sees over the hills and around the corners. And God knew there's going to come a day when we're going to need Him to step up and do what we could not do. And I could stand here for the next 2 hours and tell you of miracle after miracle after miracle of God providing for me and my family when we could not provide for ourselves. And I'll tell you without hesitation that it was on the basis, I believe, that we've been faithful in giving our tithes and our offering and supporting missions for the last 20 years. I believe with all my heart, if I hadn't been doing that, I'd have no right to expect God to do anything for me. On and on and on. I've got to get on. I quit because I didn't see anything, any rewards in the first 6 months. Hey, God may be going to let you go 20 years before you see that miraculous provision. When you get to heaven, you're going to see all the things God protected you from that you didn't even know about. And I'm convinced that some of our greatest blessings in this life is what God kept from us because we were faithful to obey Him and give and tithe and on and on. Well, I've got to get on. How's this unfinished task going to be fulfilled? How's it going to be finished? Well, first of all, I want you to know it's going to be finished by the unhindered child of God. The unhindered child of God. Jesus said, "Go ye." He said, "Take up my cross. Deny yourself. Follow me." Well, I can't go today because of this. I can't go because of this. I can't go because of my job or because of the little league or because of the baseball game or the fishing trip. I cannot go because the Great Commission is going to be filled, finished, by the unhindered child of God. What excuses are you making today that you can't go and you can't give? What keeps you from participating in the plan of God for the ages? Dear God, if God had not included you in that plan, you'd have been howling and complaining because you wasn't chosen. Just like you on the playground when you was a kid and you weren't chosen. You felt badly. Well, God has chosen to put you in His plan. God's looking for people that'll be unhindered as children of God. The unfinished task is going to be finished. It'll be finished by unhindered children of God. And I'm here to tell you, we need to get our house in order and our life in order so we can do what God saved us and left us here to do. Then the unfinished task will be finished through the unlimited power of God working through the unhindered child of God. God not only wants us to clean house and get rid of those things that hinder and hold us back. You say, well, I can't because I'm a shift worker. Dear God, the apostles fished all night. And Jesus said, I want to use your boat. Shift work is not an excuse not to get involved in God's program. Let me tell you, when they did, though they'd fished all night and caught nothing, God rewarded them with a boatload of fish because they'd obeyed Him. But my, if God's work is going to be finished, if His unfinished task is going to be finished, then it's going to take a Spirit-filled Christian that's unhindered by the things of this world. He said, all power is given unto me. He said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ephesians 5, verse 18, he said, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Oh, if we're going to finish the task God's given us to do, it's going to be finished by unhindered children of God, filled with the unlimited power of God to get the work done. Why? Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Doesn't take a doctor's degree to look at that and ask the question, what did God send Jesus to do? Jesus answered it, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give Himself a ransom for our souls. He came giving and loving and sacrificing so sinners could be saved. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. For God wants us as His children to go loving, sacrificing, obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with His power. When you pray for your missionaries, our missionaries, when I pray for them, I always pray, oh God, fill them with Thy power. Provide for them their necessities for ministry and protect them from Satan's attack. Thank God that power is available to us. All power is given unto me, Jesus said. He said, you will receive power. What power? His power. So much of God's work is being done in the energy of the flesh. And that's another reason we're not getting the job done. The task has not been finished. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Then thirdly, the unfinished task will be fulfilled only by obeying the unfailing Word of God. What I've read to you tonight is not obsolete. You say it's old-fashioned. Yes, it's as old as God's heart is. It's as old as God's plan and God's will for His church and His people. And if we're going to get it done, we've got to come back to the place where we make His will priority over our will. That's what Jesus did. Not my will, Lord, thine be done. Only as we obey the Great Commission can we claim His presence. Lo, I am with you always. Do you want that presence? Why should the person who never goes soul winning expect to claim this promise? Why should the person who never gives to mission expect to claim His presence? This promise is made to individuals and to Christians who seek to obey Christ's command of verse 19 and 20. Lo, I am with you always. Now let me ask three or four quick questions and I'll be through. Do you walk alone, or is God's presence with you? Are you raising your family alone, or is God's presence really with you in your home? Are you trying to build a business alone, or is God's presence with you as you try to build that business? Christ made the promise. You can't expect the presence if you're not willing to obey the command. There's an unfinished task before us. God expects us to reach our generation with the gospel. And God expects us to reach the generation that came before us, that the other churches and the other Christians didn't witness. Why should they die and go to hell and never hear? There's an unfinished task in front of us. And I want you to know that God has never designed government to fulfill that task. God has not designed business to fulfill that task. God has established His church and put sinners saved by grace in His church. And as we go and as we witness and we're blessed of God and we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and we can have His presence, and then we can be effective in our ministry of telling that story. It really bothers me to think that I'm going to live my life and leave this world with more people on this earth having never heard the gospel than were here when I came into this world. I want to do my best. I want to be faithful. I want to tell the story. God's looking for unhindered Christians. You say, how can I get in that place? Well, you know what's hindering you. Change some things in your life. Get rid of some things out of your life. Make Christ and His will a priority number one in your life. Amen. Dear God, I know Christians that the cowboys have preference over God in their life. That's disgraceful. Hunting and fishing has precedence over God in their life. The fact is, God's looking for you and me to use. You and me. And until we give Him our all and get involved, be faithful, we're never going to make a dent in the unfinished task. Father, that's our message. Oh Lord, how many people are going to die and go to hell and never one time in my lifetime having heard the gospel story? Help us, Lord Jesus, tonight. to rearrange our lives so that we can give you priority number one. You ask us to be first. Let you be first in our life. And how foolish we are to think you'll be content with number three, number four, number five place, or even number two. Speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, I want to just stop and thank you for the faithful witnesses here at our church and for those who faithfully support missions. Thank you for them. And, Lord, the problem is not with them. The problem is that they need to, that number needs to be added to. Thank you for senior saints that give their tithes and an offering for missions. And though they can't go like they used to, they pray for those that do. Thank you for making it possible for them to have a vital part in your great commission through their giving and their prayer life and their encouragement of soul winners that can go. Lord, add to our number. Strengthen our church. Burden us for your work. Help us to realize it's not just the preacher's work, but it's every Christian's work. Speak to our hearts, we ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's